Council will come to order. Like to establish a quorum.
Council Wirtz.
Council McAfee.
Council Brenner.
And the mayor, it's Ken. A quorum established, and if you would join in the Pledge of Allegiance and a bell.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And you will notice the new poll. The mayor worked on that.
Good.
Figured we'd need that for the counties and we need here.
And it's all painted. Everything that we painted. Are there any added agenda items?
We're doing our budget hearing first.
Oh.
Well, then we go to work.
Okay.
So you have, we sent that second, we don't have that there.
Okay. Item four is the 2011-2012 City of Lapine budget. I'll open the public hearing and ask staff to start a summary, please.
I passed out the summary. We all, a couple weeks ago, approved the budget. And some of you may have it with you. There hasn't been any changes. No one has come forward with anything that seemed to be out of place. We kept the rate at $1.80 per thousand underneath the amount we could raise. We did estimate 12% less in revenue this year because of the downturn in house values. Hopefully, it's not that much. The fire district, interestingly, only figured down about 4 or 5% or something. So, but they have lots of their land is towards Sun River where the values haven't dropped as much. And it's a guess. So, you know, you'll never see where that shakes out. So the tax revenues decreased, as you all know, but franchise fee income went up. Franchise fees are about 40, we're not 50-50, but we're headed toward franchise fees almost pay as much as property taxes. Because our tax rate is so low, that's, in most cities it would be 20-25%, maybe, of franchise fees, but they also have a $4 or $5 tax. Because we have a $2 tax, you know, so that shows you the importance of franchise fees. And so that's a big change in the income side. In the expense side, you know, we budget for 3 full-time people. That'd be the city manager, city recorder, finance, and then Patty's position. We didn't do anything with sewer and water because that won't happen until July 1. We did break out, as all of you know, some of the funds to have a better accounting of our budget. So we'll be able to break things apart better and look back in the history. Transit room tax, the city hall, water fund, sewer fund, that type of stuff. So I guess that's... And one reason, of course, the budget numbers are up in total is the city hall. Because we got a $500,000 project. So, that's it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Public comments, please. Hearing none, I will proceed. We'll close the public hearing at this time. And go to council deliberation. Anything?
We just need a motion to approve the 2011-2012 City of Lapine budget. Yes.
Did you just indicate that there was not a whole lot of change from what we reviewed?
None.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Great. And this is the notice that went into the newspaper.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to approve the 2011-2012 City of Lapine budget?
I make that motion.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay.
Now you're on your regular meeting.
Okay. Let the record reflect that there's a quorum in attendance. And Since we've had our Pledge of Allegiance, I'll move to added agenda items. Are there any added agenda items?
I think we ought to discuss the computer situation, and also I'd like to know what we can give or offer to the Small Cities Network when they come down here to visit us.
Okay, so council laptops?
Yes.
And the Small Cities?
Right.
Offer.
You think they're going to have a meeting?
Yes. I got that letter. Okay. We'll add those under other matters. Okay. Are there any others? Hearing none, item 5 is the consent agenda.
Okay, I have something on May 11th.
Okay.
Page 8. And in the first paragraph there, when we're talking about Doug Ward's appointment to the Planning Commission, I think that I said all of that, but we didn't get what the point I was trying to make. So I went ahead and re-listened to it and kind of put my thoughts down, kind of did it and said, so Mr. Ward's position was consistent, and I did not offer an opinion as to if it was right or wrong. However, this position did not reflect the community position, and he was voted out of office. A new council with different tenants was voted in, therefore I cannot accept the appointment of Doug Ward. Support. Okay. You can have that.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda with that change to the minutes of May.
One second.
Or do you have another one?
Oh, there's another one. Oh, I just had a question on the check detail.
Is that like BII?
What check or which one?
5BI.
5BI.
Just that that telephone charge for the La Pine Water and Sewer.
It's telephone / utilities.
Oh.
All you see is just
a telephone. Okay.
Page
up. Oh, that was page 2.
Yeah, well, we've got a water bill now with the new building.
Well, you don't pay a telephone bill.
No. We don't.
Not yet.
Okay, that's it for me.
Was there a second? Dan, did you
make a motion?
Okay. Is there a second to approve the consent agenda?
I second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Opposed? The ayes have it. Public comments at this time?
Hi. Gloria Fleming, 50662 Deer Forest Drive. I have a problem as far as the minutes. The minutes are supposed to report what was said, not the intent. And that was something that was made very clear to me when I was doing minutes. So. They should reflect what actually was said, not what the intent was.
Were you referring to my comment? Oh, because I did go back and rewrote what that was left out, what I had said.
I will proceed. Submission of the TRT fund recommendations of Mr. Mike Jensen, chair of the TRT committee, please.
I think you've got the written recommendation in your packet. So I'll give you a moment to look for that. That's it, Ken? Done? Any of yours?
Okay, Frank.
Just a recap of what the TRT committee has been doing the first 6 months of the year. I think we've met probably six or seven times, and we started out by looking at the application that's required and making some modifications to that. And then once that was finished, we submitted the application for submission by the public, and then began to evaluate the applications. There were probably, I want to say, three or four different applications. The most consistent and largest was under the Lapine Visitor Center. And we had some of the other applications that came in. As with last year, we found it was most appropriate to work them in under the Lapine Visitor Center application. So it seems to be a consistent approach that the Visitor Center can really kind of get the best bang for the buck from a marketing perspective, and Dan has done a great job of pooling resources and getting each of the people under the Visitor Center applications to work promoting each other. And we don't have the car here tonight, so. But I think that a lot of you have seen the car, and it's already got Invisible Pine on it, and to sum things up, the TRT funds that were budgeted, I think we budgeted around $80,000 for last year, and I think the last report I saw was around $57,000 collected, and that was maybe that was a projected for the year. What do you
think? I don't know if we have a new one. We weren't that far off. No, we were like $2,000 under.
Okay.
I want to say $2,000 under.
And maybe I didn't have a complete report. I received one from Patty a while back, and it was ballpark around 57.
Yeah.
Bottom line is the revenue that we're receiving from TRT revenue is down, and during the course of our meeting this year, we met with the city manager and several of the councilors attended our meetings, and we pretty much knew coming in, as you saw from the budget, that we were looking at a targeted number of around $68,000 for next year. So that being kind of the given number that we all agreed on, I worked with the committee to come up with appropriate approach for the TRT distribution. And so the bottom line is we're assuming a tax of $68,000 in revenue, and if you take out the 30% that the city holds to place into the general fund, we're left with $47,600. We agreed that it would probably be the best approach to continue to have most of the event-related applications in the future go underneath the Visitor Center and let them really, you know, run with this thing and drive it
and then hold another amount aside for non-event related types of things, similar to what we did with the Parks and Rec over at Roseland Park last year. And so basically we're holding out about $5,000 for that, and then we have an ongoing set aside of 2% of that amount. So the recommended amount of annual funding is $41,748 to the visitor center, and during our meetings we agreed that it would be appropriate to distribute those in equal amounts on a monthly basis of 1/12. So the committee's recommendation to the council is that the Lapine Visitor Center be funded at the amount of $41,748 to be distributed in equal 1/12 monthly disbursements. The committee also has a couple of other further recommendations, and we've done this through the course of 6 months of meeting with the city manager, councilors who were present, and we feel that the best approach going forward to utilize the city's time as well as the volunteers on the committee's time is to bring the applications in, basically meet at the first part of the year in January, take a look, make sure we've got a good application, we're take a look at whatever reports we have, things like that, and then basically bring all of the event-related items in under the visitor center. So bottom line is, if you've got an event and want to work with TRT funds to have it promoted, you would work under the Lapine Visitor Center.
So we're changing the way that we've done business in the past. So previously what we've done is take the TRT funds, give an allocated amount to the Visitors Bureau for operating funds, and then distribute those funds on a grant basis that was decided by the committee?
Yes and no. The part of your statement said that you would distribute it for operations, and it's actually been for operations and for events. And so really what it, we're kind of pulling our resources, and quite frankly, this is probably the least amount that the Visitor Center, it's barely going to cover the amount that the Visitor Center needs to operate. Kind of on a side note, we've been involved in working on the Visitor Center budget, and we're doing some belt tightening, and I think that's consistent with how you're running the city and how the county's being run. Everybody's got to tighten their belts. The school district's laying off teachers, and so that's just the way it works. I think the change in direction that you're seeing is that we feel that from a marketing perspective, it's best for the city of Lapine to market its events under one entity and get the best bang for the buck, whether that's buying radio ads or newspaper ads. The Visitor Center knows the statutes, they know the requirements, they know how far 50 miles out is. Over the last couple of years, we've had applications that have come in, I think the Mountain Men was a good example last year. They're out darn near the Highway 58, aren't they, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's that doesn't benefit Lapine, and we actually told them that just didn't qualify last year. So the bottom line is to have kind of a global type of approach where the Visitor Center can have more of a 50,000-foot view of tourism in Lapine, rather than managing just the tourism center and then dealing with these small silo entities or events. So I'm going to continue on the report that you have. And add that the committee suggests or recommends that we meet probably about 2 to 3 times next year. We get the application taken care of. We're there to act as advisors or whatever, respond to the Visitor Center. And then once the Visitor Center has an application, I'm assuming probably in the
middle of May timeframe, which is about what we like to have so that we can work with the city on what their budget constraints are, that we meet and accept the application from the visitor center and then submit it to the council. We're further recommending that the visitor center be designated as the city of Lapine's choice for promoting tourism. And we think that by doing so, that will give us some opportunities and advantages in the means of grants or additional funding that might be available out in other parts of the county. If we go to foundations or other funding sources and by proclamation or what have you, we are the visitor center is designated as the place to promote tourism on Lapine. It carries a bit of a heavier weight than just say someone who is one of the recipients of the grants. So that's kind of the reason we went with that approach. If the council approves a resolution or proclamation, whatever you want to call it, we will then act upon that and go forward and see if we can secure some more funds, because we've got some neat things coming out. I think you just saw the new tourism guide and directory, and our website's coming up in another week or so. So basically, that's our recommendation. We recommend that the council approve $41,748 and that basically allow us to, the committee to kind of work as volunteers for the visitor center and for the TRT committee. We can make a lot better use of our time working with the visitor center and then just kind of working through the city on a kind of a as-needed basis. And the other thing it does is it helps free up a lot of Patty's time, because when we have a formal committee meeting, we have to have it recorded. So we're trying to help the city tighten the belts as well. Questions? Any other questions?
Dan, you probably should declare conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Before we move to discussing.
Yeah, if we're at that point. Of course, I'm the director for the chamber and the visitor center, and conflict of interest. Should recuse myself from voting. If somebody has a question or something I could help answer, I could probably do that. But hopefully, everybody knows that.
And that's one of the reasons I submitted the report ahead of time, so you'd have a chance in your pre-meeting studies to kind of take a look and see what we were looking at, maybe prepare any questions, things like that. And I think we all recognize that we wear a lot of it's the old 80-20 rule. A lot of us wear a lot of different hats around the community. Dan, it's appropriate that you should recuse yourself and then go
forward. Any direct questions? Rick, do you want to make a comment about the TRT committee and
the idea, and then they went to work on it themselves, but the idea has been a little, first of all, the city's TRT committee is kind of, I guess it's, first of all, this is, I think, over the few years you've been here, that's kind of been done a couple different ways, and you formed this TRT committee, which met a few times. It does require the official notices and all that, but in reality, they were just rubber stamping what someone else did, and then it came here from a recommendation from the TRT to rubber stamp that, basically. And usually cities, if you aren't really involved in making those decisions and doing it, you don't want, if you're to a degree what we were really doing, we're handing the visitors center the money to distribute. That's in effect what we were doing, because they went off and decided who to give it to, and had their own formulas and everything else. And they came back and the committee just says yes, and then it comes to you just to say yes. And so I think it would be cleaner and easier if the Visitors Bureau is in fact going to handle our tourism stuff, you basically decide how much you want to give them a year, and you give it to them. It's kind of like the state gives a state revenue sharing. They don't tell you how to spend it. If you start hearing you don't think they're doing it right or things, you can call it into question. You can change the amount you give them. But it was more kind of let them take the applications, because we're getting into some arguments over who should get it a little bit and who shouldn't. They were giving equal amounts, and there were just all kinds of things.
Yeah, there was a lot more looking at the statutes and the rules and regs and all of that stuff, rather than really kind of keeping that 50,000 foot view that you really want to look at for the city. And the council, I'm sure, realizes that you still have a set aside or contingency fund if somebody comes in and says, hey, I've got the best events in sliced bread or a great thing that can bring in, a bunch of people. And oh, by the way, we're going to build, 10 hotels to do that. You've got the latitude to deal with that.
Okay. This is less money for them this year. You're right about taking their budget up, and that's hopefully just a one-year deal, because we're dedicating the funds more directly. In the past, they got it based, rolled with what they came in. This last year it was down, so they actually got less.
Yeah.
And since we've separated it out now, we should take in more than we budgeted. Then that money will roll over, and then through the budget process, you guys can decide how much you want to give them. But they're going to be able to pretty well count on that dollar amount, the $41,000, without a roller coaster.
Yeah, the big, kind of back to your question, Adele, the big difference here is that when preparing the budget for the visitor center, you actually know how much you're going to have coming in, rather than waiting for a monthly or a quarterly report on TRT revenue to see we thought we were going to get, 12,000 rather than the 9,000 we got or whatever. So this is, and I agree with Rick, the city's taken a very conservative approach to budgeting. I've done the same thing in business over the years, and I think it's best. I'd rather tighten my belt this year than think, oh, no, we're going to have an $80,000 year and expect that, and then have to go back to someone and say, well, we can't do what you were asking to do.
The only question I have is, so these are all projected amounts because we actually don't know how much of the actual TRT funding that we have. So what I don't get is how it's going to be distributed in monthly equal payments.
Well, we can give it monthly. The $5,000 to the Parks District it's up to $5,000, and I figured that in as a kind of, I call that the floater. So first of all, we're taking 2% off. Then you take the five, because I told Justin, I said, well, say the revenue's lower than this, then you might get $3,500.
Yeah.
So I think you got enough cushion there. You really got about a $6,000 cushion, plus we estimated below last year, or the year we're finishing. The motel in question did just pay us, and I took them out, figuring we were not going to get paid by that particular motel ever again. So
that's good to hear.
That'll be an extra,
it's about, what, $3,000, something like that?
Yeah. Depending, yeah. Hard to tell. But, yes. Give or take, that's three-ish, 2 to 3-ish, and with our five and everything. So I think we're in pretty good shape, Adele. And obviously, if you got down to the 11th month, and literally, let's be honest, this is, we're going to give them the same, however, is with anything. If Newbury Inn burns down,
it did
work.
But they don't pay transient room tax. Everyone would take a hit.
I think a bunch of us would be down there pitching tents. But
so we're not obligating the city to be paying
an exact amount
of 1/12, which is $3,479 per month.
No.
One-twelfth of that?
One-twelfth of 41. We'd be given a monthly.
Whether we collect more or less.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if there's a carryover, which, all of it's an estimate, but there will be, barring a catastrophe, there will be money carried over in this fund.
Yeah, it's just like the housing market or the stock market. It's peaks and valleys, and months like October, November are going to be softer than June, July, and August, or months when we've got a ton of snow on the ground. And so it's just kind of like budgeting or cash flow. John?
I think the thing that you're trying to get across is we want a set amount that we can depend on every month to run the visitor center. And by doing it this way, you've got it. You know that it's going to be coming in every month,
well,
and it makes it easier.
To some degree, you're right. That's the recommendation we're making. And quite frankly, it just, it boils down to just good business sense, good common sense on how to run whatever you're running. You don't go to the homeowners of the city of Wapiti and say, well, we'd like you to pay somewhere between 1.5 to 2.0% in property taxes. You tell them 1.8, and that's what you budget on. And so we're kind of steering ourselves a little bit in that direction.
Okay, well, I think that it's an important entity in the community, and I think that, this is a good idea. But the only angst I have is that I didn't see in here, because these are public funds and because it's the responsibility of the council, I think I'd like to see a disbursement criteria I don't know. That would probably be under your purvey to decide what that disbursement.
I think I gave you one.
Okay, and what is that?
1/12.
No. No, I mean, how are you going to disperse these funds to
qualifications? Okay, all right.
I don't think it has to be elaborate, but I think...
You know what, Dale, what should the Wada City do?
Mm-hmm.
We, in the budget process, they would come in and make a presentation, say we'd be doing it in April, they'd be making a presentation for the $40,000+, and they would say, this is what we gave last year, to these groups. This is how we ran the visitor center. And that's where the budget committee and the council then gets to raise questions and things. And then once it's approved, then, it's quite more managing it for that.
Yeah, I think that's really what we're trying to say when we say we're going to get together a couple of times next year and do it that way, because...
Maybe you're misunderstanding me. I don't want to get into the operational piece of it, but I think some general blanket statement saying that that we will do our best to consider all applicants equally and not be considered something like that. Something that kind of goes away with.
I don't know that you definitely want that, because, quite frankly, here's a good example. The council awarded money to the radio and to the Frontier Days.
Right.
If I were, let's say, for example, you get Elliot Racing coming in with his car,
mm-hmm.
and he comes, rather than coming to me, he comes to the council and says, I'm going to travel all around California, Nevada, all around Oregon, and put visible pine on my car, and I'd like you to give me a big bucket of money.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not going to go with that, because it's not necessarily a known entity. So the idea is that you definitely want to give new events and new projects like to stand on. And I think that's where you get the advantage of having the visitor center, a consistent director who knows what's going on in town, not just, saying, okay, well, we've got applications from these 12 different groups.
Mm-hmm.
They all get the same amount. If we do that, we're stepping back 3 years, which is what the committee used to do.
Yeah, no. I don't think so I'm making my point. So anytime that you have the distribution of public funds, you always have rules. Just like when we get the state share revenue, we have rules on how we can spend it. And I think that I'm not asking for rules, just kind of a disbursement criteria on how you're going to be considering the applications, how are you going to be applying this public funding. Okay. So it'd be maybe for the purpose of projects only for the purpose of promoting, applying.
Here's what I think would be the best solution for that. As the the chair for the TRT, and I'm good to do whatever the council wants to do, but just kind of thinking, standing on my feet, I'm thinking that one of the things that I've recommended as the chair of the TRT committee is that the city proclaim a resolution that says, hey, the visitor center, this is the entity. And maybe when we write that up, or when you write that up, you can include some wording in there that says that the visitor center will do its darndest, for lack of better words, to promote all tourism concerns in the area.
Best interest.
You know, Dale, we could have an annual contract. In other words, we're giving this for this purpose, and this is kind of what we're buying.
And I would have made the assumption that
I know some
that was already
that
in place.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good suggestion. I think that brings it to a point that meets your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally like everything I've heard so far. I think we're in the very beginning, as we were in when the city was formed with the TRT committee. We're looking at doing something for a period of time based upon a premise that this will work. We know that we're going to have the meetings that the city managers described in the budget process, and they'll get presentations to us. I think putting a sunset on the TRT committee and letting the visitor center be our manager of this will work very well. I think in a contract sort of way, we could have some wording in there in our resolution that would meet exactly. And I have no problem with that. I think
the contract would be the way to go. It's kind of like we hire someone to do the roads, and we'd be broad in what you say, because you don't want to get. But no. And you just do an annual. Well, in other words, like we pay someone to do roads, we're paying the chamber $41,000 to provide these services. And then when they come in and want some more money and things, or if they're doing a specific project, you can put it in. Because over time, that could become $100,000.
Right. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And otherwise, it becomes a little loosey-goosey.
Right.
So I think it's an appropriate...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the TRT committee, our TRT committee, kind of goes away. And you're contracting to them, just like you debate all the contracts that come in here.
Mm-hmm.
The TRT committee would still be... they would still be an active committee. However, they'd only meet a couple times a year.
Or they're more of a chamber.
And it's really kind of a transparency thing, because you want to have a committee like that. I mean, you don't want to have all this dumped on you at every council meeting. You want to have some community volunteers to it. And I guess what happens when you assume things, I made the assumption that we already had some type of an agreement.
Yeah.
Maybe we do and maybe we don't.
Maybe
we do.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe there's something that needs to be amended to that agreement. So we've got a document for that, and then a resolution, and then, I take off my TRT hat, and Dan takes off his counselor's hat, and we go out there and promote the city and the community, and we go out there and look for more money. That's the bottom line.
Having heard all that, I would, agreement, I would... entertain a motion to accept the TRT's recommendations, with the proviso that in the very near future we will put together a contract.
Yeah, I'll look at Dan. And I can work on that. We'll do a contract, and we could make it where you don't want to have to start from scratch. Maybe it rolls, but it every spring it's some but we can. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. We'll put that together.
Okay.
The other thing, criteria-wise, that I was just going to throw out is we do have ORS, you know, statutes to follow, and that's a good criteria to follow. So.
Yeah, it's those statutes don't go away.
Yeah, I mean, it is important that that money isn't going to roads. It can't go to a fireman or a policeman. It comes from motels, and by law, it has to go where it has to go. In most communities, in smaller ones especially, turn it over to the chambers, visitor bureaus, because the cities aren't in the tourism business. They don't want into that minutia of buying radio ads and promoting. I mean, we're government. Everything we do, we have to have government contracts and bidding, and you can get a better bargain.
Just like you don't want to hire someone to evaluate, you know, is this the right sign or not, because you're doing it, you know, you're adding to the sign ordinance or whatever.
If this doesn't work, you guys can revisit it.
Sure. I actually believe this is a major step forward in our whole approach to the TRT monies. I think this is just an evolution of it coming down the road, and having looked at things we've done in the past, and we're bringing it to this point. So I would ask for a motion to approve the recommendations as presented, with the proviso that the city manager will look into a contract that's agreeable to both the council and...
I shall move.
I second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Let the record reflect that Councilor Dan Varco includes himself from the vote.
Thank you.
And I'd like to make if I could make one other request, that you add the proclamation or whatever you're going to call it to your agenda in the very near future, because we've got the motor running and we're ready to roll. Go out there looking for some other funding to.
We'll pay you in July. And you're in the budget, so I mean, unless the council says no, it may be August before we get an agreement signed, but we're gonna.
I'd much rather have a piece of paper in our hand that says, "Hey, you guys are the visitor center of choice."
But you won't turn the check down.
I'll never turn a check.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks,
Mike. Okay. Item 8 is the Federal Neighborhood Stabilization Program number 3. This was presented at our last work session, and we are bringing it to this point as to have had time to look into some of the aspects of this program, and I think I'd like to hear from the city manager.
We first had a presentation last meeting from the city of Redmond. City managers here and the housing authority, Housing Works. And then some questions came up, which were all good ones. And since then, I talked with the city of Bend, who ran the NSP 2 program, where Lapine got some veterans' houses and things in that, and they're still working on that. The city of Bend told me that they, in fact, were not going to be funded this third round. They did apply. There was a little confusion on exactly what they applied, but they didn't get funded, so it's a moot point. City of Redmond and our part, City of Redmond is the applicant, and then we were kind of the carry-on luggage. They did get funded, but about half of what they wanted. So you can remember last week or 2 weeks ago, they told us it would be about $500,000. It's probably a quarter for us, $250,000. But I then called and talked to the director of this program for the state, and he was actually very glad I called, and him and I were working on the maps of what areas. And he felt we should do the 20% down. And I said, especially after only $250,000, if you were to go buy a house, we'd get about 2.5 houses. You know, it just wouldn't have enough impact. And he said that the feds are reviewing these to make sure you get the maximum impact. So he thought we should go for the down payment program, where you put in about 25 or 30 per house, so we could get 10 houses. It depends on if they're $80,000 houses or $110,000 houses.
Right.
But the money, they awarded it today. basically. And as far as the state's concerned, we're partnering in with Redmond, and the Housing Works is going to manage it. And so what I'd like you guys to do is to authorize me to, there's a couple little things we're going to change in this IGA, but basically authorize the city manager to negotiate the IGA and sign it. And there's a couple things I went through with Jeremy and get a couple little name changes and some things. And there's also the Redmond city attorney. So, but I think it's a neat opportunity. And
I think it's a great opportunity. I think the idea of the 20% down is our best, is the biggest bang for the buck that we could do. And with the impact that it would have on the city, in doing something in that vein, so.
And we'll know more down the road here as stuff comes in, and you know, we don't even know the neighborhoods yet, and we don't know exactly how much money, and all of those things. But
okay. Adele, did you have?
Yeah, the only issue I have with this is number 5, the administrative cost, and it's so ambiguous. So if we could tighten that down,
okay.
It says a reasonable amount.
I had the check too.
What do you mean, tighten it tighter than deduct a reasonable amount?
Well, it says a reasonable amount from the total grant funds. Yeah. And it says that's set forth in the NSP3 grant rules. Well, I don't know what it says in the grant rules.
We'll ask about.
Yeah. So if we're as long as we can just stipulate what it is.
Any comments, Nick?
Rick, with this, I like the idea also of doing, you know, spending as far as we can with the down payment kind of process. But if an opportunity came across that showed there was a great need for it and we wanted to do one outright, is that still a possibility?
Or I don't know the answer.
Declare that. Okay. Actually, that, you know, Chuck from the veterans that.
Yeah.
I mean, he asked
Hemingway.
He asked me to pass on that he'd like us to reserve,
you know,
the options.
Yeah, if you remember last time, they said that the one thing the feds changed between 2 and 3 was they want more houses impacted.
Yeah.
And I think the problem would be if we take away $100,000 to buy direct.
Yeah.
You have to have enough that it makes an impact. In other words, they're not taking what, and I had a discussion with the state guy yesterday, they don't want to do like a house 5 miles out of town and a house over here and a house over here. The idea of this is to turn a neighborhood around, and it takes enough.
Yep.
So I don't know the answer whether can we. I got the impression that's not where they want us to go. It's there just isn't enough money in this for us.
Yeah.
So maybe we can do it.
I think if we make sure that, you know, the realtors know about it and that kind of thing, that we'll use it up.
Yeah.
That way, but I guess in my mind I was thinking, okay, what if we only get one buyer and then, you know, then we could do.
I'm sure that the probably things will it triggers in this whole thing. You know, the one thing about the federal government.
Yeah.
It'll be thick.
Yeah.
there'll be a rule for everything and a thing. And like in our newsletter that I'm now starting to work on, my favorite job is newsletters.
Well, you have two of us that are more than willing to help you. We already paid a month to help you.
But on the front page, my starting thing, I did have I put in there, contact your local realtors for information, da da da, was one of the things I put in my first rough draft. So I think the realtors will like that, number one.
Yes.
I have a question. When you're picking your plan, 20% down, so if you're saying $100,000, a buyer would have to have $20,000 plus closing costs to be able to buy?
No, the program is, Vicki, okay. You weren't here live. You skipped the class meeting.
I know.
The important one, too, so don't do it again.
Yes, okay.
What the program is, the federal government wants foreclosed houses. There's too many in subdivisions, and so they have this program, and what it appears for us will be this time is they actually will pay up to 20%. So say you have a house that's $100,000, they have to go get conventional financing. So they got to be qualified, but maybe they don't have the down payment.
Right.
This program pays the down payment. They take a second. They do not have to make payments on it. If the house, I think there's a thing, if the house sells and say they sell it for $200,000, they have to repay that.
Okay.
But also, as that money's repaid, it comes back to the city to revolve. We have it forever.
Right.
So and use it for housing. So if we do, and I was just, the reason I've been saying 100 grand, average, cheaper house, and then when you figure some administrative costs, they figure about 20 grand down, they make me 5 grand in cost, so 20 to 30,000 per house. And if we got 200 to 300 grand, 8, 7, 10 houses. But now to get up to Crescent Creek, which I did ask them to look into if we could include Crescent Creek, now you're going to have, even at foreclosed houses, they're probably, how much are they going for foreclosed out there? 150s or something, whatever the numbers are.
60 a square foot was the last one.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous.
So, and I asked him to include the area back here and Crescent Creek.
Okay.
And the feds are going to stick it in their computer.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
So I need a motion for you to authorize me to negotiate this.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Did I hear an aye from you?
Aye. I thought we were just going to skip over a minute.
It's unanimous. The ayes have it.
Okay. The council rules, you had these a couple times, but now that the charter passed, these would, what I wanted to do is bring it for our July meeting, and actually we'd have a resolution. Well, interestingly, you approved your first sets of council rules, you did at some point, you just approved them, which is fine. Then you went and changed some items, but you actually changed them with the resolution. So that was a little odd. You're changing something that you're changing something that there was no. In other words, the original one was never approved with a resolution, but you made the changes with a resolution. But you know, that's all part of growing up and walking and crawling. It just meant it was super official, the changes. So anyway, to clean it all up, what we'll do is we'll repeal the original rules and the resolution, and then these would become your new rules. And these, of course, have things like the mayor only votes in a tie, the mayor is elected, all those kinds of things, and you guys have looked at them a couple times, so if you don't have any problems with it, because when we bring it here for the resolution, that's a little late to be changing things. So we've had it here for about 4 months.
I read through it, and it's the same.
You know, the one that changed, like, it used to say the attorney had to attend every meeting, now it doesn't say that. things like that. So if everyone's okay with that, we'll have a resolution at our July meeting, because our charter takes effect July 1. By the way, our mayor only votes after July 1 in ties.
After this July?
Because the charter takes effect, it describes in the charter how you transition into the elected mayor, because it spells it out. Mm-hmm. But everything else, anything that, I mean, you follow the charter. So we elect our mayor when it tells us to elect it, which is, there's a whole description of that. But on July 1,
aspects of what a mayor does,
and the mayor only votes in a tie starting July 1. This is your last official meeting that you'll be voting.
So does he get his opinion?
Oh,
if he doesn't vote with that.
Of course. Dang.
I think we'd have a hard time stopping that.
Yeah.
Do we have a general agreement that we want to... we're doing this with a resolution?
Yeah, we'll do it. Because we want to, with the July meeting.
Okay.
Because this doesn't take effect, because it can't do this till July.
Till after the, okay.
And
okay.
We want to repeal the one part.
And we'll do that at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is what it's going to be, because I haven't heard from anyone. It'll be a resolution form, and the preamble, of course, will say the normal deletions and stuff, but the actual meat and potatoes will be this document.
Do we not have another meeting between now and then?
We have a work session.
This has been out at four
yes.
meetings.
Yes.
I know.
And it's been through the law.
Look again.
Attorney.
If you see something you want me to, you notice something, email me.
Okay.
Email us.
Email me. You can't hold a council debate via email.
True. I just wanted to keep you on your toes. We all know about...
if you see something, I'll try to figure out if it did... makes good sense or not, because there could be typos and other little dastardly deeds in here. Vicki, you have your copy of
let
these?
The record reflect that there's a general consent that that we proceed at our next regular meeting with a resolution for the council rules and procedures. Request for proposal for legal services. Item 10.
Okay. You know, this came from the budget. Kind of our budget committee, and it's come up a little bit before, and it's actually, as I said, I think when I sent out the thing to you guys on it, I think it's a very, actually it's a great idea. I mean, it should be done, should have been done, you know, again, as part of our getting everything in order. I think this is a good request for proposal and qualifications. It covers the, you can look at the bullet points, I think the I put down a 3-year, we'd be asking, we'll negotiate a contract, but for them, as they make proposals, they kind of want to know. I did a 3-year with a 2-year renewal option. However, you can break it at any time. You could break it after a year. You can, you know, so you have total flexibility. But as I said the last time we talked about, it's like a doctor, you know, or an accountant. You don't change these very often. I mean, it's just very difficult to do. And what we were going to do is put this out starting tomorrow and put it in the bulletin in order to, and then of course in our local Wise Buy, get it on our website. And we gave till July 13th, so they got about a month to, and then my thought was I'd narrow it down to 2 or 3, and then the whole council, we just have a special meeting and have the council do the interviews. Because that's your legal counsel, and that's very important that some of the counsel has trust and wants to work with for several years. And so that would be your interview process.
Okay.
No subcommittee.
Sounds good.
But we don't want to interview 5 or 7 of them. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you want to spend some time with them. So I think I would, we'll see who comes in and then narrow it from there. And there's only a few that will, I mean, there's kind of the usual suspects out there, and obviously our current firm will no doubt put in. So is that fine?
Yep.
And I don't know yet. I haven't checked into if those, because you're interviewing your legal counsel, if those are closed sessions or open sessions. But we'll try to make it open. I'm just not sure.
I think it's closed.
Well, it's like,
yeah.
Let's check our council rules and procedures.
You know, so I was a little confused on the selection process. So it says
page 4.
Yeah, page 4.
Okay.
3.
Yeah. Okay, it says after completing negotiations.
Really?
Yeah, not sure how quite
okay.
With that.
They may select the finalists for interviewing. Okay, so the city manager will select the finalists for interviewing. And then it says, after completing negotiations and the contract process, the city manager will make recommendation to city council to appoint the city attorney and award a contract. Is that right? City manager will make a recommendation.
City council.
Completing negotiations and contract process. Now, I don't get what that means. So we'll choose both.
Yeah, I'll clean that up. Because what it reads a little cumbersome. So the bottom line is that what it needs to say is the council will select the finalist, and then the city manager will negotiate the contract
okay.
with it. Because, you know, after you select them, then we got to negotiate the contract.
Yeah.
So I'll work on that paragraph, because you're right, Adele. That could read much better.
Okay, the second question is, when you're negotiating the contract, who's going to review it?
city attorney.
The one that's getting laid off.
I mean, let's see how that turns out. I know every city does this. So.
Yeah,
I mean, you could go to a third-party attorney if you wanted to.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something League of Oregon Cities could help you with?
Yeah, they have an attorney, or LGPI.
That's true. Yeah. Very good idea.
And I got a contract from a couple cities that are pretty good. So.
Okay.
But are you guys okay, basically, to go ahead and do this?
Yeah.
Get out. And I think it'll be good. I think you'll save some money.
Can I ask a question on that? You say that after we select the candidate, you negotiate the contract, mm-hmm. right? Well, then, how do we know to begin with whether we're getting a more advantageous contract?
Well, all of that, they're going to tell you their rates and everything. They're going to tell you what they're charging for. When you interview them, they're going to go through, because it says, see, they have to
here.
Right. So the contracts, I mean, they say they're going to charge $150 an hour. Their contracts, I mean, it says $150 an hour.
Oh, yeah. In the proposal, service proposal, we'll get to look at that and then talk to them. So.
Yeah, it'll be travel time. Some of them might charge you half to travel. Some might not charge travel. There's kind of all of them. One may charge you to travel, but doesn't charge you for other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's that's
when we were interviewing for City Manager, or when we accepted the applications for City Manager, there were some that said that they would live someplace else and charge us X number of dollars every time they came to the city. I mean, it's the same type
right.
of thing.
Okay, we will get that fixed and out sometime in this next week or a few days, and that will give them plenty of time to get in here. It'll probably be August before we get to our interviews and things.
Under item 11, other matters, we've added the council laptops, and Don?
Well,
Or would you like me to say something on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
It is yours. You should have brought it for us.
I should have brought it. It's gorgeous. I got it under lock and key. I'd like to say that I had the idea that each of the counselors needed to have the opportunity to have a laptop provided by the city to do their city work. I had very strong feelings about that, and I still do. At our last meeting, when it was approved, the motion and the approval was for the mayor to have one. I can assure you that since I've got this new laptop, and I'm using the state-of-the-art software that allows me to keep a calendar, to actually use Microsoft Outlook in my mail, I'm saving where I used to have to sit and deal with the exchange server for my mail. I'm saving, I'll use the term, gobs of time. Okay, so I really believe in revisiting this, that the council should allow any other counselor that feels they need a laptop to do their city business and do it with a machine that has state-of-the-art software. We should recognize that the same as the mayor having one.
Are you looking for me to comment? I've got a laptop, I've got a desktop both, and I'm having a lot of trouble with Microsoft Office and trying to get my emails and download all the things with it. And I stopped by Little D to check it out. Well, if I go in there and have my laptop redone and everything, it's going to cost me between $200 and $300 to do it. And I think that maybe the council should look at it from this standpoint. Your computer, does that belong to you? Or does it belong to the city?
The mayor's laptop?
Yes.
Belongs to the city.
Well,
And we label it as such.
See, that's my point. When you buy a laptop, actually it's an investment, and it goes on to the assets of the city. And if you buy a laptop for me, for instance, that laptop would be mine to use until my term of office is up. At that time, the laptop is surrendered, and the city goes on. Whoever takes my place would get the laptop and go on from there. And I think that that's one of the things that kind of maybe somebody was, because I heard today that somebody didn't like the idea that the city would be buying a personal computer for somebody. And I wanted everybody to know that it wasn't a personal computer for any individual on the council, that it was a city asset that could be used for some time. And I'm having a lot of trouble with Microsoft myself, or Outlook Express myself. In fact, I came in and was talking to Rick about it today. So I stopped by Little D to find out about it, and I really feel, instead of me spending $300 to convert my computer to something that's useful, that it would be and something that I don't use for anything except for city business, because I don't particularly care for Microsoft Office and the rest of that stuff that I have to get. And I think it would be more cost effective to buy the computer with the software and everything up to date. That's my personal opinion.
I'd make a motion that we allow any counselor to have a computer. It's paid for by the city, a personal computer, by the way, because they're called PCs, but for city use.
A city
owned laptop. Maybe for terminology, somebody's thinking PC.
City owned laptop.
City owned laptop. And maybe that just be the motion, is that we allow that for those that want it, but not necessarily have to be provided if it's not needed.
The only thing that I have.
Should we have a second
comment?
And then
a
discussion. And then discussion. I mean, I don't know. We're doing my discussion without even.
You made the motion. Is there a second to the motion?
I prefer somebody else second it, because
I second the motion. Okay. So, discussion.
Okay. So the only thing that I have a question about about this is that Stu Martinez has been, I think, I don't even know what his opinion is, but I heard that he had a strong opinion, I don't know which way, for it or against it, and if we're getting the second blow at this, or the second look at this, we might as well just wait and see what he has to say about it. Yeah. I don't know what his opinion is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's for or against it.
He has a problem with the software. I can speak to having gone to his office to look at his software, and he was using the same thing I was using, as Web Exchange. Okay? And he was having a problem with it. I don't want that to be considered what he would say, but I can tell you that that's what the discussion him and I had over it. There's only two aspects of this. We either do or don't, you know. And whether he comes back or isn't here doesn't really affect that. If he doesn't want one, then he doesn't then he doesn't need one. In my mind, but I can tell you that I've always looked at this through my life, in doing a job is having the tools you need to do them with, and I think this is a case of. Mail and calendar and all that can be intimidating. So, I think that really speaks to what we're doing here. But back to this thing with Stu, is I know this to be what Stu's idea was from having talked to him, and the fact that we're dealing with, you know, we're either going to do it or not, no matter what he says, and I think we need to proceed.
The fact is, you know, everybody that serves on the council is volunteer, and there it's very possible that, as you know, down the road somebody may not even have access to a computer that would be elected to the council. And so it seems like, as a matter of policy, maybe, you know, I know that you know, last time I thought it should be, you know, the mayor, and I made that motion that would have it. I wasn't thinking, you know, because I, you know, for me, I have access to several computers, and I move around so much, I can't, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but to some people it really could, and I see Don has a good point.
Yeah.
And, you know, if, I mean, if the majority of the council thinks it's a good policy, then I
well, do we have the money?
Well,
but the city's got plenty of money.
Well, this is going to be, first of all, it's going to be for next year's budget. I mean, you've got...
Again, because we didn't account for it.
I mean, in the materials and services fund, you do. I mean, because you've got everything from giving money to rodeo clubs to you name it. I mean, it's all in that same thing. So you've got 11 months. But obviously, we've got to spend $5,000.
Yes, you do.
You know, it has an impact. Not everyone will want one. You know, one's already been bought. This keeps coming up. I told Don it needed to come here because this has come up. It's, you know, it's an issue.
If it handicaps somebody like Don, we've got to take care of that situation. And
it's not, really what's
he shouldn't have to go spend money to serve the city, in my mind.
Any...
So, of course, we would not do this until July, August. So, I mean, they will have to limp along like they've been going for years.
Okay.
But we'll have to, you know, because this needs to come out of next year's budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, nobody run down to Little D if you approve this tomorrow. But actually, well, first we need to find out who all wants them. Because we need to, if we're going to get three of them, you know, we can get a better price. And this is starting to get up to enough where we're going to have to probably, I need to call around and get quotes. You can't just go to Little D to buy $3,000 worth of computers.
Mm-hmm.
See,
are you going to take bids on these because there are other people?
Won't be bids. It'll be, we'll get quotes.
Barbara, I'm going to have public comment in just a minute, please.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. All those in favor of buying or allowing or having a program of buying laptops for those counselors who feel they need them to do their job? Did you make a motion of that? Okay. All those in favor of that? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Opposed? The ayes have it.
Those were soft eyes. So, what we'll do is over the next couple, 3 weeks, people email me if you're wanting one. Now, they will be the property of the city, and of course, upon your departure, they stay, and we'll label them, and they'll go to the next council person. And remember, anything you type in there is
public.
It's coming back down here, so...
So, the only thing is now everybody's going to be on 2010, and so everybody's going to be zipping around here, and...
Everyone will...
Yeah, so I'll have to convert everything, and...
Do you open everything I send you now?
Mm-hmm. Because I open it at work.
Can you open it at home? I send them...
I convert it to 03.
I'm doing 03 to 07, because I was just talking to Mrs. Cooper, and she says when I send her stuff, she can open it.
Yeah.
Because I convert to 03 to 07.
Okay.
Other people who are emailing, you may be sending it in 10. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to add
something.
I
can open what you have.
Okay.
I open it at work on break.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let her plainly reflect that. Say that again, Rick. You convert from 03 to 07.
When you want to save, you can set a default that says if you want to save, it's called compatibility mode.
Right.
Because the problem is they're always updating. And then if you don't, if I send it out in 10 and Vicky's got 07, she has a hard time opening it. So I send it, and you just have to assume most people don't have 10.
Right.
I mean, Microsoft wants you to have one of these every year.
Of course.
So if Vicky sends a spreadsheet and we open up with 2010, then some of the components kind of get a little...
I think when you... I think if it came to you in 07, when you save, it might automatically save into that form. Or ask you.
Yes. It'll ask you.
Well, it's just, there's just going to be a little...
Well, I think what we need to do is make sure...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever provides us this, one of the things they need to do is make it set up
you know, they need to, they can't just dump it on your lab too. You know, we'll have to have a little service.
I think that's part of bringing the equipment on. Is making sure that one, you've got some of the other little tools that go with it, and the ability to use it. So training or whatever. So we have an excellent trainer right here who will work weekends with you. All in a little bit of humor. Having dealt with the laptops, let's move to small cities meeting on the pipe. You want to?
Okay, basically the Small Cities Network is a group of cities around the central section of the state that meet together every 3 months to go over different things that are of interest to small cities, and how to do things and so forth. I've been going to them ever since I came on the council, and they always meet at Maupin, and they've always met at Maupin because they say that's a central area. And so I made the suggestion at the last meeting. I said, well, you know, I'm always coming up here and it's a long trip. I said, why can't we have it down at Lapine sometime? I said, we're about to have a new city hall. We're doing a lot of things right, and we'd like to show off our community to all of the cities involved. So I got a commitment from the lady who runs it to the league that they will come here in September to have their meeting. So that means probably about 20 to 25 people, that's who you normally attend that meeting, would be coming to Lapine. And what I would like to do, when we go up there, we usually meet from 11 to 1, and then go out to dinner and buy our own dinner.
Lunch.
And or lunch or whatever you buy. And what I would like to do is, number one, I'd like to invite them down and tell them that we're going to host the luncheon for them. And my idea for hosting the luncheon would be to use the small meeting room at the senior center, and because everybody doesn't like the same food, pick three or four items, and when we send them the invitation, call us back and tell us which one of these items that you'd like to have prepared so that we get the kind of food that that particular person wants. And then I talked with Rick, maybe we could get some of one of the motels or something to say, if you come down the night before, we'll give you a government discount or something like that, and maybe entice some of these people that are coming, like from the Dalles or someplace like that, to come down, spend the night before or after the meeting, one of the two, and look the town over. And one of the things I was kind of hoping, that the city hall would be ready for show at that time. But Rick says it'll be nip and tuck. We just may not have it completed, but it'll be 90% done by that time if we approve the contracts. So what I'd like to know from the council is what I can actually tell the meeting next Thursday when I go up, what we will do, and give them an idea and try to build up a little enthusiasm to come to Lapine.
Do you know the date? What the date would be in September?
I'd have to look at it.
It's September.
Thursday in September.
Right back there, but it's about the 20-something.
Yeah.
The week ahead of the LOC coming.
Yeah. It is just a week before.
Yeah, it already come the last weekend.
Yeah, the last weekend.
This is like the one before that, Thursday. You know, I think the reality is you'll probably have way less come because we're so far. That's just a reality. When you're coming from the Dalles, it's one thing to meet in Maupin or Madras, where everybody goes part way, but when you go to the far end, you just, law of averages, you're talking to the Dalles, that's a 4-hour drive. And a lot of miles with $4 gas, so, you know.
They've never had any meeting south of Bend.
Well, they barely don't have them there. Always.
It's the North Group.
Don, would you explain a little more about what, how you mean hosting it? Hosting it at?
I mean just buying their lunch for them.
Okay, at the senior center.
I would recommend that, but it doesn't have to be there.
No, I just.
The idea behind it is the senior center is one of the premier buildings we have in the community, and that shows off one of our good buildings. I mean, it could go to Gordy's if that's what you would prefer, or go someplace else. But
if you guys just, I'll work with Don on it. I mean, my thought originally would we just get some deli sandwiches in a tray, and you have, because it's 11 to 1, you just have it at noon, you pull them out, and people can take ham or turkey, and it's pretty cheap to do that. You have some chips and some things, and if we're meeting at the new City Hall, it'd be there. If we're, you know, we'll know. You don't need to sit here tonight and debate where we're eating it, I guess.
I believe it's a great opportunity for the city. I think it's, you know, there's nothing about the, I have no problems with the city hosting it at all.
Not going to spend very much on it.
No. And I think that even if we work something out with the senior center cook staff to provide some kind of a
snack tray.
Or even some broader levels of food would be very and then we know the city manager could probably work some kind of deal with the hotels to get a cut rate, you know.
Well, there's a government rate anyway, and you might get a couple that say, hey, we're on Thursdays, then they say we're going to come down and then go spend the weekend in Central Oregon because they're coming.
Sure,
down.
Sure.
Send one of those brochures to every one of them.
Now you're wanting us to send out brochures to everyone?
I'll pay for the damn.
Oh, that's it. It's who are the people that I'll be sending them to?
Be sending them to the mayor or the city manager, because they're the ones that normally attend. One of those two.
Let me offer a suggestion. Could we not provide the committee? And I think the head of the committee is the mayor of Maupin, is that not
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. We could provide them a package of these and or a bundle of these and say,
you give us a list of the cities that are
I can take them with me next year.
Oh, that's true.
When I'm growing up.
Yeah.
Cool.
That'd be good,
Don.
Yeah. That'd work.
Okay.
Otherwise,
we'll help you.
I would entertain a motion that we host. The city hosts the September Small Cities Network meeting in La Pine with a lunch and other.
I so move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it.
I didn't know it was going to be that big a deal.
No, it isn't. It isn't. It's a great idea.
You shouldn't have even brought it up.
It's a great idea.
No more suggestions.
I believe that we should do things like this that brings people to the city, that gets money spent in the town, and we should think of these things all the time.
Correct. I'm hoping to see it all be done so we can show it off.
Me too. Public comments, please. Barbara, you had started to say something, and I apologize, but
you embarrassed me so much.
You're way out of it. But you know, I give you first shot at comments.
Thank you very much. There are other computer places in La Pine and in Bend, and I was wondering if you are going to get bids on this.
We will do quotes. Our rules, anything under $5,000 is quotes. You don't do sealed bids.
Well, quotes.
But yes, we will. So we will, and someone can give me a list, in case I don't know who all provides computers in La Pine. And under our rules, you should attempt to get three, but if you can only get two, that's fine. And if you only get one, that's fine.
Wayne, name?
Wayne Kovacs, 41512 Mack Court, La Pine.
May I revisit the TRT for a moment? We had touched occasionally on looking at COVA to maybe supply some funding to our chamber or our, you know, tourist industry promotion. Are we still going to do that, or we're not just burying that, are we?
No. Mike's comments, he mentioned something about trying to get a kind of a designation from the council to get to have some strength then to be able to go to the county in COVA and just kind of see if we could leverage that a little bit more and get into the outline. Because Visitor Center Service is, you know, more than just a city, and yeah. So we ought to be getting at least from the resources
forward, if nothing
yeah.
else.
Yeah, so that's definitely something that the Visitor Center is pushing, working on, yes.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Vicki?
Yes. On your computers, I guess, Rick, yes. You guys have to go to computer companies to order computers. You can't go on Dell. Well, I guess if you had a assistant to the city manager, they would know what software everybody wants instead of having little D do it for you.
Well, you don't need an assistant to the city manager.
Yeah.
I know what software we need.
Right, right.
And that's Microsoft Office.
Yeah. Because I was kind of looking at, you know, the bids they got, because I'm looking for another one too. But what the city really needs is a support contract for help on the software. Because we talked about, you know, before you were going to go out and get it, because now you're just paying them $75 if they come over and do something. But it seems like that would be something you might budget, or you maybe have budgeted for next year.
Well, I think that, you know, probably when we, a year from now, when Sewer and Water's with us and we have more stuff and everything, you know, then we're a little larger, mm-hmm. and maybe you'll want to have some sort of retainer for X mm-hmm. amount. We're been pretty small, and so to go out and get someone to do that. And then the second thing, and I take direction from the council, I agree with them. I mean, yes, could I go online? I'm mm-hmm. quite capable of that. Ordering computers, I've done it many mm-hmm. times. You know, we could get maybe for $1,800, I can get three laptops. And if I buy them in Lapine, they're $1,900. You know, I get the impression that people here want to support the local economy when they can. And unless there's a significant difference, because you're taking that money out of this economy, mm-hmm. and the only way this economy is going to grow and expand is if we put it back in here. So yes, could we go online and get it shipped in from somewhere out of the country? Probably. Mm-hmm. But then you don't have the support, you don't have anyone to call. And so until I'm told otherwise, I'll look locally.
Yeah. And Rick, let me say too to that, you don't have the ownership. It's like buying a Honda mm-hmm. in Springfield and then bringing it down to the Honda dealership in Bend. You know, there's that. You didn't buy it here. But you buy local, and you have this connecting community ownership.
Well, so it's if you buy through Little D, you'll still have your Dell software for a year. You'll still have certain warranties
sure.
anyway.
Sure.
And then I just to visit the TRT again. I understand that the visitor center is going to be getting this $41,000, whatever, assuming that you get, you know, enough TRT. Will the visitor center, since it's part of the chamber, is what I understand, will the visitor center require, since they're part of the chamber, anybody coming to them to be a chamber member, or will it be totally open since public? Okay, that's a question I had. Okay, good.
Okay.
I love the chamber, but I just, you know, I had got somebody talked to me and they were complaining because they had come.
That's a good question.
Yes, thank you.
Any other? Gloria.
I just have a question on the TRT too. It was at one point was a big issue. So on the reporting requirements and the accounting, I didn't hear that in the report. It may have been in there, but it was how often they were going to report to the city, or they're going to be quarterly or monthly, or you know how the funds were dispersed. So is that in that proposal, or
I think that's part of the contract.
Yeah.
We'll have a contract.
Yeah.
We already have an agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make sure there's a line that says you must make sure you follow
the... Yeah, so then would that be their account that would be handling that, or would that be the city's account that would be...
They would, they'll do it. I mean, if we audited them or checked them out.
And I just wanted to say, too, on the advantage on the little D, they're very involved and they're willing to help out. They do a lot of things that they don't get paid for, and you would not get that kind of service from anybody else.
I can vouch for that, and it goes to the same thing that we talked about in hiring an attorney, getting, you know, putting out a proposal. You know, you get an attorney, and some things they don't charge you for, and then, you know, and then when they're under the gun and under a contract, they list, you know, maybe they list everything, and they charge you for every little bitty thing. So you're right. It's they do a lot that they never charge for. So
that's all I am.
Mayor?
On the TRT funds in the past, the city did have, and I think this is what the bill was trying to think of and come up with, did have reporting requirements and a reporting schedule for how the funds were used. Mm-hmm. So this has to be in city records somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's a place to start.
Didn't
look
agree
for what was done in the past.
I'm not sure that we didn't go past that a little bit. I think we did, but that has been one of my big ideas or my concerns all along, is that we need to know where that money is being spent and how it's being spent, and it doesn't have to be a great elaborate report, but we need to have some accountability, and I'd expect to see that in a contract. I think we all would.
Loretta Murphy, Post Office Box 2421, Lapine, Oregon. Just two quick comments. One on the computers. One other thing that Rick touched on it is all of you having city computers is also an issue of security, privacy, as well as legality. Because if there ever should be any legal issues, totally separating any private communications from any communications or work that you do publicly protects you, because your hard drive could be subpoenaed by me if I got to be under my bonnet and said I wanted some emails that I didn't get on a public documents request and I think somebody's hiding them. I can actually go to that extent, you know, if you can show that there's a need and subpoena people's laptops, hard drives in essence. So by having separate city computers that are only used for that, you protect your own privacy, and you also protect the city because you are keeping everything on a database and, you know, long term. I just think it makes a lot of sense from a security standpoint, both personal as well as city. So that was just one other, I think.
I agree with that. I think that was evident in the Linn County case. That came out in the LOC magazine recently, that spoke to it, and they all got beat up bad.
Oh, mm-hmm. So everything becomes public.
Yeah.
I mean, your hard drive becomes public. You know, we know about Wienergate.
Do you have another let's move on to your next.
Next was just a question, a quick for Rick. I'm assuming you were talking to Roberto Franco over the NSP and the IGA.
No.
Okay, because he is the manager of the department who actually was going to do the approvals, which I know Redmond only got notified this morning at the HUD that they got their grant.
That's correct.
And what amount they got. And I had actually had a conversation with him over this whole thing because I had some questions. And my concern was, first of all, I was a little confused because I listen to all the city council meetings. Even when I'm not here, I listen to them as soon as they're posted. And when I was listening to the one when Mr. Brandt was here, I was like, did I just hear what I thought I heard? How could he be doing this if they don't know the amount of the money? And I didn't think they were allowed to be discussing these things and offering to do IGAs prior to their preliminary approval. That was my understanding. I've worked on a few of these in other areas. So I was a little thrown by that, and then it turns out, just, you know, that I was not too incorrect, because they all got a little letter of reprimand because they weren't supposed to be doing that, what they were doing. They're just not supposed to. Prior to their preliminary authorization, they're not actually ever supposed to be doing or discussing IGAs. And Redmond City Council passed a motion on the IGA in May, on the 17th of May, before he ever even came down here and talked to you guys. And I'm going, which I have here, because I'm going, how could they be approving a deal with Lapine when they hadn't even been down here talking to Lapine? So I just have to tell you, that threw me, because when I'm not here, I'm listening to this stuff, and I've actually got the minutes and stuff from Redmond and the staff report, because I couldn't figure out how they were doing it. So I just wanted to make the point that sometimes these guys jump the gun a little, and technically they weren't, you know, you can discuss with a potential partner, would you be interested in taking, you know, us including you in our application? But they're actually not supposed to be discussing contract or any of that type of thing, commitment, because what happened this morning is the perfect example, was Mr. Franco told me, they put in for almost $500,000 and ended up getting substantially less than what they expected to get. But when they came down here and were talking to all of you, they were talking about you getting like $45,000, 15%. Well, that now is whacked in half, or less than half. And the process, even after this preliminary approval this morning that they just found out about, with that, with you guys, if you're going to do this IGA, what happens is, you sign that, you send that to them, and you tell me, Rick, if I think I've got this right. They now do a new application, a plan, that has to go to him, to them, to his department, he's the head of the department, then to HUD. And this new amended plan for this NSP money has to go from him to HUD. In the meantime, they then come back and try and negotiate a contract, and he is the OHCS department that this money's coming through. He negotiates a contract with Redmond, who handles all the money and administers whatever Lapine gets, and if I think I have that right. Mm-hmm. However, even while that's going on, this amended plan that will go to HUD, that money is still not guaranteed whatsoever until this amended plan that includes you has to now go back through his office to HUD. HUD then looks at the projection for where this money is going to be expended. And if they don't think that your project or Redmond's project or part of either or both meets what they want this money to be used for, they don't stamp it. And if they don't stamp it, it comes back and that money is not available. So I think a lot of people didn't really understand that there's actually three more steps even after what, you know, the original application. That then comes back. And then this money is not even money in the bank. This money is money that's out there, and then you do the project, and then it's reimbursable funds. It's not actually money that you guys have. But I just kind of wanted to say that because I was a little perplexed when how he was here, you know, saying that when, and they had already, on the 17th of May, which I got because I couldn't believe it, had this nice chat up, and I actually have their staff report on from the city of Redmond about this IGA with the city of Lapine when it hadn't even been discussed with the city of Lapine. Well, I was a little flummoxed by that one. But anyway, it was more about just that the funding is probably going to be less than half of what you guys were hoping. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just thought that was important for you guys.
Thank you very much. Staff committee reports. staff comments?
Well, you see, there's our flyer that's out, mosquito abatement. Mm-hmm. You know, so we found a mosquito.
and they were both at my house.
They are spraying, they called today, so we got that out. I'm working on the newsletter, and this is a smaller version of it, but it would be a 4-page 11-17. And so, by right now, when you guys go through my front line was creating curb appeal. making a good first impression counts. Sign, sign, signs everywhere there's a sign. And there's an old song on that. And goes through and talks about signs and how to contact us, and if there's an ad hoc group that's meeting monthly, they met today, and you can certainly contact her. And only the other one, the city participates in neighborhood stabilization program, got a little thing of house for sale sign, and talks about contact your local realtor to locate a home and mortgage lender. For more information, you go to our website once it all gets on there. Now, this is obviously not going out right now. And anyway, I'm working on that. And this map, these maps here, I got from the county made for me. For free, and these are this is Cable Road, and it's kind of nice. What you're going to see is one is the aerial. This is the project to start kind of thinning out the vegetation. The aerial kind of it graphically shows you that the side of the road where the power lines is. No one can see it; they'd have to come look at it. But anyway, you've got tax lots on it. And then this map has tax lots, the owner's name, their address of the property, and I hadn't put the real market value and the AV value, and that's actually more for when we talked about doing an LID out there maybe for a road project someday, and I'd like to figure that. But anyway, we sent a letter out today. We're going to be meeting at the Roslyn School on July 1st at 1 o'clock. Cable residents only. That's not the subdivision, it's Cable Road. It only impacts them. It's no one else's. And so they have a letter and then also to call us. And we'll talk about what we're doing and what trees and bushes need to be thinned out and so on and so forth. But I thought about getting a map like this for the whole, you could almost get it. It'd be nice with the tax lots, the records. It's got the mailing addresses on an Excel spreadsheet. You can see the houses in here. You can kind of see where if people start changing things or throwing stuff in. So, but we will be doing that on July 1st. And the reason I picked July 1st was, you will notice when you look at these addresses, probably a third live out of Lapine at least. And they come up for the 4th of July. A lot of people when they have vacation homes come up on holiday weekends. Mm-hmm. And I know at Camp Sherman, their local community meetings that they have when they want everybody are always part of three-day weekend. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I thought by having it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they can leave their homes in Portland in the morning, they can be here, and it doesn't interfere with festivities. You know, we'll be there from 1 to 2.
You might get a few more coming into town.
Yeah, it will, because someone's going to say, you guys are going to come trim some trees in front of my house, and they get to kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So, that's out there. And I'll go show you something else. I'll bring it back again. There's several little beer parties running around for the big celebration coming up. Signed another one today, and there's another one coming in, so you'll have your pick of bands and places to go. The City Hall, I met yesterday for an hour or so in Bend on the way up, and we will have the bidding documents ready to go out next Tuesday, Wednesday. We've got pretty much that all put together. They are finalizing things, and unfortunately, you know, I sit there and kind of pick out stuff that I'm not the architects. You know, that they did it, but then I had to say yes or no to. I'm not particularly good at art. That's not my thing. And so the architects, I think, did a good job. So if you don't like it, you can blame the architects. And if you do like it, don't give me any credit because I didn't have anything to do with it other than to veto a couple things. But the other thing is, we'll be able to, they're going to put together a palette thingy for us so you'll be able to look at colors and carpet and all of that. You know, architects always want to push a couple little things and you know, to make it to where it's not just how probably you and I would paint something.
So you're saying the council's going to get to, point at colors and...
Well, yes. I mean, you don't want to, you know, be careful with that, but yes.
All comes down to votes.
Yeah.
I mean, pink council chamber.
Yeah.
We just remember it comes back to at election time.
Anyway, that's I had to pick the lights in the parking lot, and you know, there was like six different ones. One was blocky and square, and one was a little too foo-foo-y. And, you know, so Anyway, but they have to put something out to bid. And but like with carpet and stuff, if you don't, you know, someone's going to bid $15 a yard. If you decide you want a different color or something, you know, you'll be able to go up and down from there. The bids will be opened up. They close about 3 weeks. They need to be out, and that's why I told Don, if you kind of figure from next week and then figure 3 weeks, and then you got to take a week to open them and look at them, and you've got to figure 2 months. Don's is real questionable, and I think we'll be part of the, when the league is here, we'll take them on tour anyway, regardless. So, but we can hopefully be done. And then on the 20th, we will have a required pre meeting at on site at 5 p.m. Again, that was, we did that for a fine. Mm-hmm. It's an evening, and the successful bidder must be here, and we're going to have some tables and chairs, and we're going to get out to the local subs, painters, and everyone else that wants to come. They can come hand out business cards. We will provide free copies of the plans. The one at the bin copies, they have to pay for. And they're down in Bend, and they'll have to do that. So that's another little thing we're doing to help the local out.
Mm-hmm. Now, say that again, though.
20th.
What? What date?
The 20th. Yeah. At 6 p.m.
At June. City Hall. At the Moore City Hall.
Yeah, basically, this thing gets out next Wednesday. The contractors want to come see what it is they're bidding. They got to come see it. So you've got to do that fairly early in the process. And if they're going to get bids from any of our subs, the subs need to talk to them, shake hands, exchange business cards.
So is this some sort of a pre-qualification meeting, or is just...
It's just a mandatory... We're not doing pre-qualifying. This is a $200,000 job, so
okay.
We're not doing pre-qualifying. But it's required that you have attended this.
Okay.
Mm. So that forces the general down here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that the like COBA will be handling the
not COBA, but it goes to the builders. There's a Bend Plan Center, and they go to Bend Mapping and Blueprinting.
Okay.
And then what you do is they email a copy, and these companies make money then copy. In the old days, you made the copies, and it could be $50 a set. Okay. But because I've seen the book, the construction book's this thick, and they have to pay for it.
So you go to one of those and you buy it.
What happens is they put out a list. They have an email list. So it goes out to subs, generals, everyone. It's going to say, oh, this job popped up. It'll go out that day. And it's going to say, this is the job, estimated value. It's in Lapine, Oregon, remodel for a city hall. The interested ones, they jump down there
right.
The next day. Mm-hmm. And they'll decide if it's in their, interest or the timeline.
Okay.
And then they'll pay, if they're serious, they'll pay. And some of them, like if you're electrical, you only take electrical pages.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about floor covering.
Right.
So,
okay. Well, we're going to provide that stuff free to...
We're going to make up about 10 books, 10 of the books, and sets of plans to hand out locally.
Okay.
And I'm going to have one set unput together so I can take it to a local company to have it printed.
Okay.
Because otherwise they'll do it, the architects will do it in Bend.
Right.
So I'm trying to, what you guys have taught me and hammered in my head, keep it here.
Okay.
It evolves here. So anyway, that's coming along. Hopefully in the March or September we can be there. But we will have sometime after we let the bid out and they start working, we'll have a little pallet here and people can go up and start pointing out color. I mean, it's like she says, the roof is green. Mm-hmm. The wood that's varnished all over is the wood. And the wainscoting up 3 feet is the brick. So don't give yourself an ulcer worrying about what you're painting because there isn't much left. When you take out windows and doors. So anyway, yeah, it'll be neat. And I think that's it.
Okay. Council comments? Dan?
A reminder, if you don't know, we're having a community noxious weed pull on Saturday. This coming Saturday meeting at the chamber office at 8:30, and heading out at nine, pull weeds for 3 hours and have lunch at noon on the county weed pull is providing most everything. You might bring a shovel or a spade, but if you can join us and help us for a little while,
I'm just learning about these noxious weeds. Last year was the first time you helped.
Yeah.
And we learned some things about knapweed and some of the stuff that's here.
Gloria was out there.
Yeah, Gloria was there. That's right.
Are you going to ask for a show of hands who's going to be there?
Well, sure. Everybody going to be there? Everybody? All there?
That was
spray.
Spray.
Did
you spray?
Twice.
We have to
poop
twice.
They do spray, but this year it's been no problem. It's either been too rainy or windy. Yeah. And you can't spray when it's raining and windy. But you do, a lot of them you have to pick. You just have to pick them.
Well, I have a question about the lot that is down here on 4th and Huntington.
Yeah, that's our target. That's one of our main targets.
Okay,
so what
that's good. Yeah, that needs
half.
I'll take it off my list, which I'm going to talk about.
No, we need to get it all done. So, okay.
No, I was just wondering if everybody's going to get computers. So is Patty's up to date too?
She works fine, and this is the only place she uses it. Her regular computer is done out of a laptop, so.
Oh, the desktop, so.
Yeah.
Because I know we seem to crash email a lot.
One of the things when we move, what we need is that server is several years old, and you know, it's 4 years. I think it's the original. I'm not sure, but
it is.
Several years. Then we need to probably. When we go over there, probably get a new server because you're gonna have more people on it with sewer and water coming up there, mm-hmm. just different things. And the problem too is you are in here with 80% of what's in that room is Deschutes County stuff, mm-hmm. from parole, sheriff's office, everything else. And so you go in there, and it's like, well, this is ours, and then the power goes out, and whose thingy isn't working. I think when we're on our own, we can isolate, because it's going out way too often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Something is not going right. There's beeps coming out of that thing all the time.
If you
get back, there's a note on there right now, it says stop the beeping. That came, I think, from the women in the mental health over here.
I'm not going to get the parolees.
Yeah. So we've had some, it's all part of the, like I say, the growing pains, but, and then we'll need, probably, not sure how we'll do it, over at the, where Patty will sit over there, mm-hmm. you may end up with a permanent computer sitting there, because you're hooked in all the time, you're not running the computers back and forth, because you're hooked in and wired, and you got microphones, and you're not doing this setup mm-hmm. stuff every time, and so you may just have a computer, you know, that just simply handles recording of meetings and puts it into a hard drive, something like that. And then we'll have wireless internet there for the public and wireless for the city, besides hardwired. So when you're sitting here, you can use without a code.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Here on this there I worked there. This is my first run of this today because I got sidetracked on newsletters. But, you know, that's just an idea of something. We need to start being more consistent. This thing here, you know, that is one logo. Then you get the old town.
That's good.
And I put your guys' names on. A lot of city councils have the letterhead with your guys' name, the bottom, have the addresses and things. So, like I say, that's my first run at it. And so I'll make 3 or 4 things for you to pick from. We'll have a palette.
Okay.
I can't help but say it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it took me about a half hour, 45 minutes. I just, you know, I'm getting time I can work on some of these things. So. Hey, Adele, I'm going to read this for you guys. Listen, I changed this paragraph down here to the bottom of that deal, and you guys listen up, see if we think this will work. The city manager will review the submitted proposals. After review, the city council will select finalists for interviewing and choose a finalist. After the selection is made, the city manager will negotiate a contract that will be approved by the city council. The city attorney serves at the pleasure of the city council and may be removed at any time by the majority vote of the council.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well done.
Patty, I'll email that to you right now, and then we can get that out tomorrow.
Don, do you have anything under council comments?
Yes, I very definitely am in favor of, if we're spending taxpayers' money, we should spend it in Lapine. If the prices are anywhere close. I mean, an extra $100 on a $2,000 purchase certainly isn't going to hurt us, and it's going to show our support, the city's support, for the people that's investing their money in the city of Lapine.
And I'll add, to start off my comments, is that Vicki and I had the first computer sales and service business in Lapine. There is absolutely almost no money in hardware. If you're in the computer business, you will not make a living off of selling hardware. If you get $50 on a machine, you are absolutely at the top of the margin. Okay, so don't look at them, you know, getting $2,500 order for machines and then making all $700-$800. It does not happen in this world anywhere. So, thank you. Two things for me is Friends of Lapine is having another a rescheduled cleanup date. And I will ask for hands of who's going to be out there, because I will take notes.
That's in September.
No. We have a cleanup day on the 18th of this month. It's a Saturday morning. We're going to meet at the new City Hall at 8:30. And we will select teams and job locations, and people will go out and clean along Highway 97 and Huntington down to, is that Memorial? Right. And then we will come back and have a lunch at about 1 o'clock, a barbecue lunch at 1 o'clock for everybody who participates. So, can I see a show of hands who is going to join me out there? Or if you don't raise your hand, I expect to see you.
Thank you.
Here's
Yeah.
Vicki, are you going to be there?
What date is it?
That's Saturday the 18th. It's a week from this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got your names now. I did get a call from the Troop 36, and they're going to bring the Boy Scouts.
Oh, good.
The ROTC has agreed to come along, so I think it's looking better all the time. I had something else, but it's getting late.
I'm going to tell you that the property we went over there, Mr. Fleming and I went over and marched around that property and showed you the pictures, and that is probably 75-80% cleaned up.
Oh, great. Good.
And the other property next door, there's two of them, as it turned out. They're supposedly coming up to do it, and he saw it. And even what he saw left there made him sick, and most of it was gone.
So, you know, they were from what the stuff that we saw there, they were cooking better than food. They were.
Which property was this?
Oh, on Telegraph.
On Telegraph.
Yeah. Right next to the kitchen.
Oh. Okay.
We went by the restaurant up there by
Garibald.
Yeah. No, up here.
Wickia
Junction. And when we came out, we went over to look at the mess next door to it. And man, I'm telling you, that is atrocious. If there's anything up, we need to do something to clean that up. It looks terrible.
It's on my list.
I'm talking about the
flea market out
there. Yeah, the flea market thing out there.
Flea be embarrassed to hang
up. The reason I haven't gone out there, partly because I'm doing other things, every time I drive by it, well, I think, oh, I need to get out here. And I'm already down here, and I need to drive clear out there, but it's a longer process out there, because if you really were to get into this, you'd go clear to the police car.
And then
I plan on doing with the people at that flea market is just calling, finding out who. Well, I first have to go to reconnaissance, find out Is it the owner that's rented it to someone that's running the flea market? Is it the owner running the flea market? All of those things. And, you know, because you got to deal with facts. And then, ultimately, you can get on the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're responsible for who they lease to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, it's a head shop. The head shop.
Well, they just sell paraphernalia in one of the booths. It's not a head shop. I mean, they also sell...
No, they
washing machines.
It's really a head shop.
Why? But that's just a drawing people. That's just one booth, is my understanding.
What's a head shop?
That is what you said. It's a head shop. It's where they have pipes and dresses.
She's now that you're looking through the fence, it's just like somebody's yard sale. You know, all kinds of
stuff. The worst of it is that they're not taking it away. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is you have to remove inventory from your bargain tables.
Every night.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't just keep it up 7 days a week as a permanent structure.
Okay.
So I think we can get there, but...
There's
a person living there. That's not me.
There's no need. I mean, there's no denying that that end of town needs to have something done with it. I've had three complaints in this since last week about the guy that's got that carving shop and that little log building, those buildings and stuff. Three, you know.
He's the proud owner of our property on Telegraph.
One last comment from Gloria, and then
I gotta speak out on that one, because I've also had a lot of people talk about how they really like that, and I have driven by there and seen lots of out-of-state license plates. People stop and they look at those carvings and they buy things there. I would like to see some way to be able to work with that person to turn it to our advantage, because it is a tourist spot. But it can, you know, it's not like it is. It's not good. But he is an artist.
I think we all think that way.
I get people who come in and they have no negative, only positive things to say. But I also hear some of the other, but mostly from people that are here.
Well, it's ugly to us. And if it's ugly to us, we're going to extrapolate that off to be an ugly
thing. I think he can do 90% of what he's doing there, which is cleaning up some of, because what he's doing is I think over time, it's the stuff that's not for sale.
Yeah.
The tourists aren't looking at. It's the stuff that's 50 feet off.
Yeah, it's behind.
And it's so open, and it keeps getting longer, because I had a person call me who lives behind, and he said, that stuff's moving my way. next week, we will be just doing, when you get your agenda, there will be just on our staffing issues. So it's our work session, so that we figure out our... what positions we want to go for and when, and start coming up with some of that. I've got some job descriptions on Recorder/Finance People. I put that out to the City Manager Association, and I've had two or three cities have sent me job descriptions. One of them's looking right now, and a lot of small cities combine those positions, Recorder and Finance. And they require someone that understands municipal accounting and all that kind of stuff. So, and then also the City Manager side. So that'll be our first foray into all of that. But that is the only thing on our agenda, unless something pops up that we...
Great. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Yeah,
I can see my dinner.